Praise God. Praise God. But let's we've been in the book of Luke for a long time, and we have been in Luke chapter 10 for this. I believe it's either the fourth or fifth week that we've been in Luke 10. And you will not be able to accuse me of taking too long on Luke 10 next week, because this is the end of the chapter. We're going to read the final verses of the chapter, and we're going to talk about this. And so let's all stand. I told you before, I want to remind you again that Luke is somewhat different than the other gospel writers, in that even though we're only in Luke chapter 10, we are only about a week away from Jesus' death. Luke spends the majority of his gospel covering that last time that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, in which he was ultimately crucified. And he was walking, and it took him about, I haven't exactly been able to get my hands around it exactly, but it was about a four, five, six-day walk here. And he's on his way to Jerusalem for that final time, and he tells all of these parables and stories along the way. And this is it's very important to understand that, to realize that even though you're only in chapter 10, you say, well, Brother Wiggins, there's 24 chapters in Luke. Now, we're only on chapter 10, but we're within about a week away from his crucifixion, time-wise. So this is some of the final days of Christ on the earth before his crucifixion. And let's start reading at Luke chapter 10. And we're going to start reading at verses 38, and we're going to just read about five verses, 38, 39, 40, 41, and 42. And I'm going to say this again while I'm preaching, but let me say it right now in case I forget. I might read this, and you might say, well, Brother Wiggins, why did you preach on this? Why was there enough here to really preach on? This is the only place this story is mentioned in the Bible. Luke is the only, if you look at Matthew, Mark, and John, Luke is the only one that covers this story that we're going to read today. Matthew did not cover it. Mark did not cover it. John did not cover it. So if you do not preach on it while you're preaching through the book of Luke, you're going to not preach on it at all, because it's only right here. It's only right here. So let's, in the fear of the Lord, let's read Luke chapter 10, verses starting at verse 38, and hear the word of the Lord today. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. This is Bethany, by the way. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, their brother, lived in Bethany. So where it says he went to a village, this is Bethany, about 2 miles, I think, east of Jerusalem. It says, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. And if I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep going on rabbit trails, but I want you to get all of this. Because it's called Martha's house, most people believe, most scholars and commentaries believe that Martha was actually the older sister and Mary was actually the younger sister. And you'll notice Jesus, she comes to Jesus because she's mad at her sister. She's told her sister what to do. Her sister's not obeying her. So she goes to Jesus to get Mary in trouble. So most Bible writers, most Bible students believe that this is actually Martha's house. So let's read verse 39 again. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Kind of puts it on Jesus' lap. She uses the same words here that the disciples used. Remember when Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat and the boat was about to sink, and they went down and shook him and woke him up, and they said, Master, do you not care that we perish? So basically, Martha is using that same wording. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. If I can rephrase that, Martha, you are worried and troubled about a lot of things, but there's really only one thing you really need to be worried about. That's what he's saying here. He says, you are concerned about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So if I can today, I'm going to make an attempt at talking about this passage, and we're going to call this the better portion. Jesus told Martha, says, your sister Mary has chosen the better portion. And so let's talk about the better portion today. And let's pray. God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for your goodness and your mercy. And God, we're thankful for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, it's through your word that you have chosen to reveal yourself to man. And Lord, open our minds, open our hearts, open our understanding to read, study, and understand and to know your word, Lord. Help us, God, today. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Amen. So like I said a while ago, Jesus entered a village, verse 38, and that was in Bethany. And Martha welcomed him into her house, verse 38 says. So like I said a while ago, it's most people think that most likely Martha was the older sister and Mary was the younger sister. And you know how the older, a lot of times, I was the youngest of the family. So I can remember growing up even into early adulthood, my brother was older than me. He told me what to do. Both of my sisters were older than me, and guess what they did? They told me what to do. And I was just, you know, and finally, by the time I got to be about 18, 19 years old, I was ready to go through that typical rebellion stage that kids go through. Cause I mean, I had, you know, 18 years of even my brother and sisters telling me what to do. And so, but anyway, Martha was probably the older sister. And it says in verse 39 that her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. I want you to understand what's going on there in that verse. And let's just go through these verses verse by verse, and let's grab some nuggets here and there and then find a common theme. If you look, what was she standing? No. Was she laying down? No. It's believed that since all of Jesus was there with a bunch of disciples, that most likely Martha had a very large house. And so it would have been possible for her to have been over on the side of the room and sitting down in some kind of a seat, but it says that she chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And let me tell you what she was doing there. In that day, what that meant, and Mary was making a very big statement. In that day, when you had a rabbi, a Jewish teacher, people that were students, that were disciples, disciple means follower of. And in that day, if you were a disciple of a famous rabbi, when he would teach, you would gather around and you would sit at his feet. And so, in fact, you can look at, for example, remember Acts chapter 22, Paul is giving his Jewish pedigree. And in Acts 22 and verse 3, he says this about himself. Paul says that he says, I am a Jew born of Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel. So Paul was saying, listen, I was a disciple of the great rabbi Gamaliel. I was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers. And so here's Mary, and she is sitting at Jesus' feet. She is identifying herself as a disciple. She's identifying herself as a follower. She says, I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. And let me tell you something else that's a little bit courageous of Mary to do, is that I got to looking at Jewish history some through this week. And back in those days, the role of women was very, very, I guess you would say, a little bit suppressed. And I'm not trying to teach or preach on social justice here. I'm just telling you the way some things were. And women were allowed to go to the weekly synagogue services that was full blown public worship. women could go to that and go into synagogue and just a public worship service. But as far as these little private settings with a rabbi, as far as you have some big name rabbi like Gamaliel, no women could become disciples. No women could become followers. They would only men were allowed in the Jewish culture to do that. So you hear you've got Mary, that she, something is, there's something about Jesus that makes him so different than any other rabbi or teacher. There is something about him that his words just sink down in her heart to where finally she says, listen, I do not care about my Jewish culture. I do not care about some of these man-made norms and cultures that never came from the Bible and never came from Scripture. They've just been passed down by culture. She says, listen, I am going to sit at the feet of my teacher. I'm going to identify myself as a disciple. And so Mary is sitting there at Jesus' feet. And again, if you would have been a man in that room at that day, you would have thought, oh my goodness, what is she doing? I'll tell you what she's doing. She's telling everybody, I'm a disciple too. Whether I be man or whether I be woman, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. If you don't like that, oh well. But I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And she wasn't trying, in my opinion, she wasn't trying to make an opinion, a social statement or a political statement. She just wanted to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what, she had no agenda that she was pushing that day. It wasn't, well, hey, I'm going to elevate women. No, she was just wanting to be at the feet of her Lord and Master. And then it says in verse 40 that Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Again, using those same words that the disciples used when Jesus was asleep down in the bottom of the boat, and the boat was about on the Sea of Galilee and it was about to sink. They went down there and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Well, here's Martha saying, Lord, if this is almost your fault, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm doing all of this work? I'm preparing all of this food for everybody, and I need help, and Mary is just sitting there at your feet. And Martha, I want to tell you the difference between Martha and Mary. And let me say this, I'm not throwing Martha under the bus today. I just want us to learn a lesson from Martha, okay? You know, I never have taken heroin in my life because I didn't need to, because I saw what it did in some people's lives. So I don't have to make that mistake, okay? I don't have to make that mistake. Well, if we learn from Martha, then we don't have to make that mistake. But Martha, what was Martha preparing? Martha was preparing food. Martha was preparing a meal. And now, if I was to go around the room and ask you guys and just say, Sister Carmen, what did you have for lunch this last Tuesday? You're going to have that blank look on your face like you got right now. Okay? If I say, Brother Brian Johnson, what'd you have for lunch last Sunday? Again, you're going to sit there with that nice little smile on your face, and your face is now starting to get a little bit red. I'm noticing it's getting a little embarrassed. Food is a temporal thing, especially when I eat Chinese food. I can eat Chinese food and stuff myself, and then an hour and a half later, I'm ready to stuff myself all over again. Okay? Food is temporal. Food helps you. Food gives you strength. Food gives you sustenance, gives you vitality. It does all of those things, but only for a limited amount of time. The benefit, Sister Carmen, of that your lunch last Tuesday, that benefit was only good for about 8 to 10 to 12 hours at the very most. And then the benefit of that meal is gone. But so what Martha was working on and was working and laboring so hard to do was something that was just temporary, something that was just of a temporal benefit. But Mary realized there was something different about Jesus. His words were not something temporary, but his words were something that were of an eternal nature. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 12, he says, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." Jesus was saying, listen, the words that I'm speaking is not going to have some temporary benefit. The words that I am speaking have eternal repercussions that go throughout eternity. And in fact, Job, who I think we've talked about this before, it's pretty well understood that Job probably was a contemporary of Abraham. Job probably lived pre-law, which means he lived before Moses. So Job would have been one of the oldest books in the Bible. He would have lived at the time of Abraham. And Job said it this way in chapter 23. He said, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food." Or as the King James says, more than my necessary bread. In other words, Job said, if I have to choose between eating and hearing from God, hearing the word of the Lord, I will take the word of the Lord over food any day. And friend, that's saying quite a bit when you realize that was how important it was to him. And so now you understand what was going on here. Here's Martha preparing something that is only going to have a temporary benefit, while Jesus is over here teaching something that's going to have eternal benefits throughout eternity. And Martha's service, and also let me say this, Martha's service actually got in the way of her hearing what Jesus was preaching about. You know, I've heard the saying said that you can be so busy with the work of God that you forget about the God of the work. And you know what? That's one of the reasons here at our church I have never wanted to just make our calendar just full to where there's something going on down at the church every night, and families just are down at the church 4 and 5 nights a week. I know that a lot of churches might do that and have success, but listen, you can be so busy with the work of God that you do not understand and know about the God of the work. And Job said, listen, I would rather hear something from the words of the Lord, the word of the Lord, than my necessary food. So Martha is complaining, and she says that, and then in verse 41, Jesus answers her, and here's what he says. And this is my opinion. Do you remember when you were a little kid? My mom called me Timmy, okay? My mom called me Timmy. But when I had done something bad, she called me Timmy. But if I had done something really bad, she called me Timothy Raymond Wiggins. Get in here right now. And when my full, formal, legal name that appears on my birth certificate gets used, even to this day, I'm 57 years old, and if I'm in some office and they say Timothy Wiggins, and it's like, oh, no. Because all my life, when they say Timothy Wiggins, man, nothing good is fixing to happen, okay? Well, Jesus was not being angry with Martha, but Jesus was wanting to let her know that he really meant business with this. And he doesn't say her full legal name, but does he say her name just once? He says, Martha, Martha. You know, Jesus also did that. Remember after remember when Jesus was talking to Peter in Luke chapter 22? He said, did he say, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you? No. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. You remember in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul was wreaking havoc in the church. And I say in the church, he wasn't in the church, but he was wreaking havoc on the church and having people arrested, having people stoned. And he was on a rampage to try to destroy the church. And you remember that day as he was riding out to try to round up more Christians, all of a sudden this bright light shone from the sky and knocks him down to the ground. And he says, Lord, Lord, you know, and Jesus answers him in Acts chapter 9 and verse 4, Saul, Saul. See how it's twice. Simon, Simon. Saul, Saul. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, entering into Jerusalem that final time, when he was going there, we're in Luke 11 now, and by Luke 13, we're going to be in Jerusalem, and you're going to read about this. But when he comes to Jerusalem, look at Luke 13 and 34. He says, Oh, Jerusalem? No. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says it twice. So, Oh, Simon, Simon. Oh, Saul, Saul. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So now you've got Martha that is complaining. And Jesus looks at her and he says, Martha, Martha. In other words, Martha, I want your attention. I'm not mad. I'm not rebuking you. I'm not cleaning your plow. You're not in trouble here. But Martha, I want you to understand something. And I'm going to call your name two different times. I'm going to say, Martha, Martha. And then he said, You are anxious and troubled about many things. Can I be very honest with you? I mean, I hope I could be honest. I'm standing up here behind pulpit if I can't. Well, now I'm out in front of the pulpit, so maybe I can get away with it a little bit. There have been times that I have come to church with the load, with this problem, problem on the job, that problem, all these problems, and I come to church and I'm trying to be a good Christian and I pray, I worship, I sing, and then when the pastor starts preaching, he's preaching, and guess where my mind is? On my problems, Sister Carolyn. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm going to tell you something, I'm a very good faker. I will confess that there's been times in services that I've been sitting there nodding my head to the preaching. My mind's a million miles away. My mind's a million miles away. And Jesus told Martha, he says, you are distracted. You're distracted, Martha. And you've got a lot of things on your mind right now. You've got this meal that you're trying to prepare for all of these people. You've got all of these distractions, all of these preoccupations. You've got all of that. But look at your sister Mary. There's only one thing right now, Martha, that really lasts. There's only one thing that's really important. And it's the words. This is Jesus talking. Jesus is saying, Martha, what really counts is what you are hearing me say right now. The words of Jesus are what really counts. And Martha, you're letting all kinds of things distract you and get between you and me. And they're not necessarily sinful things. It's not things about temptation. It's not things about carnality. It's just preoccupations that you're just worried about this and worried about that. What am I going to do about my car payment? What am I going to do? You know, I'll tell you what, I got on the other day and remember how we couldn't get a hold of paper towels? Couldn't get a hold of toilet paper? Hey, I was sick with worry. You know what the latest is now? Rubber. They're saying that tire factories are running out of rubber. And because of the pandemic, I don't know how it's happened, but they're saying it's possible that in the next 3 to 4 months, the prices on tires might go way up. And that it's recommended that if you need tires on your car, go, you know what? If you know how Tim Wiggins thinks, I could sit right down there in that chair and listen to somebody preaching the whole time, be thinking, oh my goodness, I got to go get a pair of tires. But Jesus told her, Martha, you've got a lot of things that are distracting you. And Martha, I want to tell you, you need to be like your sister Mary, because she has chosen that good thing that's not going to be taken away from her. She has chosen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 42. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Do you remember that parable that Jesus told about the seed and the different types of soil? There was one of the types of soil that was weeds and thorns. And you remember what happened to that seed? It fell among weeds and thorns. And then what happened is it started growing. But what happened to it? It got choked out. It got choked out by the weeds and the thorns. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, talks about this. And he says, "For what fell among thorns, they are those that hear, but as they go their way, they are choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life." So the cares of life, if you will let it, will distract you like it did Martha. It will get you to where your eyes, you're like Peter that's trying to walk on the water, and rather than keeping your eyes on Jesus, you are looking at the waves. And all of a sudden you're realizing, man, things are rocky. I want to tell you something. There's always going to be stuff to worry about. There's always going to be problems. You know, I'm going to tell you who I identify with in the Bible, and that would be Joseph's father, Jacob. Remember when he went before, he appeared before Pharaoh for the first time, and Joseph took him in there and introduced him to Pharaoh, and Jacob just looked up there at Pharaoh sitting on the throne and said, "Few and troublous have been the days of my pilgrimage." Well, that's the way it is for all of us, folks. There's always something going wrong. There's always a problem. There's always issues. And I don't want those things. I don't want these everyday cares of life to be like weeds that choke me out and distract me and get my mind on them and off of Jesus Christ. Martha is preparing and working and doing something good, but Mary is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when Jesus says, that's the good portion. And it's not going to be taken from her. So I guess I'm telling you today, let's choose the good portion. You've got problems. I know you've got problems, and I don't want to minimize your problems. But I want to tell you, we've all got problems. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody about your problem. That's good. There's no problem. But do not ever let your cares of life do to you what Jesus could see that it was doing to Martha. And he said, "Martha, you're distracted. Martha, you are distracted." My wife hates it when I talk on the cell phone while I'm driving. And I've told her, I said, "I'm hands-free." And I told her, I remember one time we were on our wild vacation, and I told her, "Listen, I'm on the freeway. There's nobody in front of me. There's nobody behind me. And I'm just talking on the cell phone, on speakerphone. It's hands-free. What's the problem?" She said, "Tim, you're distracted." I said, "I'm driving just fine." She goes, "You keep on surging. You'll speed up and then you slow down. You speed up and you slow down." And she said, in a very nice, respectful way, she goes, "If you want to talk on the phone, you can just pull over and I'll drive." You know what? I don't want that to happen with my walk with God. I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to be distracted. I want to be like Mary and choose that good portion and be focused. David put it this way. Think of being the king of Israel and think of all of the duties that a king of a nation would have. All of the worries of running a nation. But what did David say in the 27th Psalm? Let me read it to you. Psalm 27, David said, not two things, not four things, not eight things. David, what's important to you? One thing. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty and to inquire in his temple. You know what? I want to have that. I want him to be my portion. I want Jesus. You know, the Jews are so concerned about the land, the land, the land. That's our inheritance. The land is our inheritance, the promised land. You know what? I'm going to say this, but I'm going to show it to you in the scripture in just a little bit. Jesus Christ is our inheritance. Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm going to be bringing this in for a landing here pretty quick. But can I throw a scripture at you? I'm not saying this is true. I'm not saying that I'm reading this totally right, although I have read some commentaries where other people have picked up on this, so this isn't just me talking here. I've done a little researching, but I'm not asking you to sign on the dotted line on this morning, what I'm fixing to say. But I want to say it. I want to say it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Bill, go there. Very popular passage of Scripture. Jesus is being baptized by John in the Jordan River. And it says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a what? Now, have you ever read that passage and asked yourself, why a dove? What's the symbolism that's being said here? And I've heard people teach on this, and I've taught on it some, and you know, I've heard, and very good stuff, like, well, you know, that a dove is very careful about what it lands on, and that you can spook it away, but here it's coming down and on Jesus. There's all kinds of neat things you can say about a dove, but remember when we studied hermeneutics, one of the hermeneutics that we learned was, what interprets Scripture? Scripture. I heard it three or four. Scripture interprets Scripture. So if you want to, if you read a verse in the book of Revelation that's got these things, and you don't go to the New York Times and say, oh, I'll bet you that's Apache helicopters. No, you don't go to the New York Times to interpret Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. And so here you've got a passage where Jesus is getting baptized. Imagine him coming up out of the water, and here comes this dove down on him. And if we want to use Scripture to interpret Scripture, where are we going to go to find that in the Bible? Sister Eunice, you are absolutely correct in the book of Genesis. And I'm not asking you to sign on to this, but consider this. Even if you don't agree with this, it'll make you go home and think, and I win. Okay? If you will remember, Noah and his family was on that ark on the water. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, and then after that, it took a long time for the earth to dry out. And he sent out a dove. Remember Matthew 3, Jesus is getting baptized. And so there's water and a dove. So in Genesis, what have we got? Water and a dove. He sends out that dove the first time, and the dove comes back to him, and it's got a little olive branch in his mouth, showing Noah that, yes, drying is going on, but it's not quite time yet. Then a week later, he lets that dove out again, okay? And what happened? Did the dove come back to him? Because it says, in fact, Bill, if you can get me that passage out of Genesis 8 and 12, it says, then he waited another 7 days and she did not return to him anymore. She found ground. When she went out before, all she could find was a tree to land on. But when she went out the second time, she could land on terra firma. She could put her feet on the earth. Here's where I'm going to lose some of you. But if you don't agree with it, please consider it. All through the Old Testament, God told Israel time after time after time, saying, I am your inheritance. I am your inheritance. You remember the Levites. Remember, each tribe of Israel got an allotment of ground, but did the Levites do that? No, because it says the Lord was their inheritance. Okay? But remember the whole promised land thing, how they would cross over Jordan and that would be the Promised Land. And then Joshua, you read the book of Joshua, they conquered all of Canaan there on the other side of the Jordan, and it was allocated to the tribes of Israel, and that became the Promised Land, right? The land that flows with milk and honey. And in the Jewish mind, it was the land, the land, the land, the land. This is our land. And thousands of years later, it's still the same thing. The land, the land, the land. But here's where I may lose you, but let me just say this. It's actually beautiful if you think about it. Here's Jesus in that same Jordan River that Joshua crossed to go over into Canaan for their inheritance. He goes down in the water, comes up out of the water, and what is coming and landing on him, just like it happened in Genesis when that dove was able to go all the way down and land on the terra firma. Now, there is the Spirit of God. It's not a real actual dove, but the Spirit of God in the form of a dove is descending upon Jesus. In essence, if I'll say this, in the Jewish mind, their inheritance was the land, the land, the land, the land. And all the way back in Genesis, that dove landed on the land, put his feet on the land. Now he's putting his feet on Jesus Christ. Church, Jesus Christ is our inheritance. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have nothing. But if you have Jesus, you have everything. You have everything. All of my inheritance is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand today. All of my inheritance. And I'm going to go ahead and stop here. I've got some other verses that I didn't get into today. I would have liked to have gotten into them, but we'll have to try to get into them another day. But Jesus is our inheritance. And I just cannot tell you, and I'm not trying to be manipulative here. There's times you can't come to church because you're sick, you've got to work, you're out of town on vacation. Hey, there's reasons. But it just shows you the importance of reading your Bible at home and coming to church and listening to teaching and preaching that's not based on some thought that a preacher had, where he just had a thought and go grab some verses to go with it. No. But Bible-based teaching, Bible-based preaching. Because Martha's doing all these things, Mary is focused on the word of the Lord, the words that are coming out of Jesus' mouth. And that's when Jesus told her. He says, Martha, Mary has desired that good portion. And then the last words he says to Martha, and I think it's a little bit of a, not scold, but just a little carefulness. I wonder if Jesus was thinking, now when I leave here, I don't want Mary getting all jumped over by Martha. So he tells Martha, he goes, she's chosen the good portion. And Martha, that's not going to be taken away from her. Is it, Martha? Okay, hands off. Church, he's our inheritance. When we open our Bibles, go through his word, we study about Jesus Christ. We're studying about our inheritance. He is the land. He is the land that dove was able to come down and put his foot on. The land that they said, oh, it's going to be a land of milk and honey. It's going to be your inheritance. It's the promised land. That was just a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our promised land. He is our inheritance. Church, let's don't let anything distract us. Let's don't be like Martha and get distracted. The bills. Cars broken down. I don't want anything to distract me Last thing I'll say. I know you've been standing for a while. Remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel would get up every morning and open his windows toward Jerusalem and kneel down and pray. And remember those governors got that law passed where if anybody prayed to another god other than Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was dead and off the scene by this time. But it was one of the kings that was after Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what? When that law got passed, it's Darius or Darius as they pronounce it. They got Darius to pass that law. Daniel just said, you know what? I'm not going to let my focus get messed up. He went just like he always had, opened those same windows, got down on his knees, and lifted his hands and began to worship the Lord. Because nothing was going to disturb his focus. Church, let's stay focused. Let's don't be distracted. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. Oh God, I love you, Jesus. God, I bless your name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are so worthy. You are so righteous. You are so holy. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Just stay where you are. We're not going to have anybody come down the front today. We're going to observe our social distancing protocols. But just where you are, take a few moments to pray. Sister Wiggins is just going to sing a song. And while she's singing that, let's just seek the Lord for a few moments today. Let's seek Him.
Oh,
worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I always want to keep my focus. I want us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Mary, seated at the feet of Jesus, naming herself as a disciple, a follower. Martha, distracted by many things. Oh God, I want to keep my focus. Let's worship the Lord one more time today. God, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to bless your name today, God. You are so good to us. Lord, you are good to us. In Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Praise God.